Birds are big business. Witness the gathering in the Klamath Basin later this week of the annual Winter Wings Conference, a series of talks and wildlife visits in one of the best places in the country to see birds this time of year because it's on the Pacific Flyway. Our final guest today will be one of the visitors to Winter Wings. Noah Stryker is an Oregon native and a big-time birder. He set a record last year for the greatest number of birds seen in a single year around the planet, and he's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Noah, welcome.
Hey, Jeffrey. Thanks. It's good to be here.
Good to have you. Oregon native, where are you living these days?
I'm based just outside of Eugene.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been turned on to birds?
I got into birds when I was about 11 or 12 years old. I had a fifth grade teacher who put a bird feeder on our classroom window here in Eugene, and she'd stop class every time a new bird showed up and make us identify it. And I thought that was pretty cool. All the other kids in the class thought this was about the dumbest thing in the world, but it changed my life.
Do you remember some of the bird species that you got to know back then?
Yeah, some of the first ones to come in were, we got some pretty cool ones. We got things like lazuli buntings and evening grosbeaks and purple finches. And, you know, this was one of those clear plastic suction cup style bird feeders that you could basically walk right up to the window glass with your nose right there and see these things up close. So that was pretty cool.
I'm going to guess you did walk right up to the window glass with your nose pressed against
it. Oh, yeah.
So what was the attraction for you? I mean, what did it make you feel like when you were getting into the birds back then?
Well, I think for me and many other birders, the initial instinct is as a collector, you want to see all the different types of birds there are and learn to identify them and sort them out. And I've always been a collector of coins and stamps and all kinds of stuff, pack ratted away in my room. And talking to other birders over the years, I think many people get into it for similar reasons. But then that kind of, it doesn't pass, but other things get added. And the great thing about birding is it can be anything you want to make of it. It can be an art form, it can be a sport, it can be a contemplative outdoor nature experience, it can be travel, it can be sitting in your own backyard. So there's many different ways to approach it.
Well, so very different things for different people. I mean, is it sort of all the above for you, sport and athletic pursuit and contemplative time? Or
yeah, exactly. And I think for me these days, it's a lifestyle. I can't turn it off. If I go to the grocery store, I'm looking at birds by the side of the road, for better or for worse.
So what's your day job then? What do you do for a living?
I'm a writer these days. I work for a magazine called Birding Magazine, which is the publication of the American Birding Association, and an author. I've written a couple of books about birds in the past few years. I travel to see birds on various expeditions. So for the past several years, I've been working as an onboard ornithologist on an expedition ship that goes to Antarctica and the high Arctic for about 3 months out of each year. So various different kinds of projects, but everything to do with birds. When I write down occupation on some form these days, I generally write Birdman.
Birdman. I know your books seem to be for more of an introductory audience. I noticed that your one of your books is called The Thing with Feathers.
Yeah, that's right. That was a fun one. The Thing with Feathers is 13 chapters, and each chapter explores a different fascinating bird behavior of all kinds of different things. So, like, there's a chapter on magpies that can recognize themselves in a mirror. There's a chapter on chickens and natural pecking orders. There's a chapter on starling murmurations, you know, those huge twisting flocks of starlings, and how you can explain that better with particle physics than with biology, kind of surprisingly. So it was cool because as I worked through, it was initially a project about bird behavior, but then everything I researched about birds doing all these different fascinating things led me to believe that actually most of those things have parallels in humans. So you can't write about birds without writing about people too.
Which begs the question about do people flock together to see birds flocking together? I mean, is birding kind of a solitary pursuit? Or does it? I mean, obviously with Winter Wings, it's a real group activity. But I mean, is it just different for each person in that way too?
I think it's different for each person. Birding can definitely be a social experience. One of the things that really got me hooked after I first got interested in birds as a kid was I started attending meetings of our local bird club in Eugene once a month. And, you know, me getting into birds as an 11 or 12-year-old is kind of unusual. Most birders tend to be a little bit older. Uh-huh. A lot of people get into it when they retire. And so all these older birders just love to have this 11-year-old show up, and they started taking me on all their trips. So, yeah, it brings people together. For me, I guess when I go birding locally, I often go by myself because I can just run down the street for a few hours in between running errands around town. But if I go on a longer trip somewhere, I'm always with other people. And that's how I did this big year of birding last year, was connecting with local birders all over the world.
Birdman Noah Stryker is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're going to talk about his worldwide big year in just a moment. He'll be at the Winter Wings Conference in Klamath Falls later this week. 800-838-3760 if you'd like to visit by phone. If you'd like to send an email, that's to jx@jeffnet.org. So the year of trying to set a record, how long had you been aware that there was a record that that was ripe for the breaking?
Big years have been a tradition among birders for quite a long time. They go back to the 1950s, since Roger Torrey Peterson did a, not quite a big year, but a big few months across the U.S. with a British friend of his, and wrote a book about it called Wild America, which is, I highly recommend. And at the end of that book, Roger Torrey Peterson reported he saw however many species of birds in that calendar year, and other birders read that and went, aha, there's a number I can beat. And so since then, people have tried to one-up each other on how many species of birds they can see between January and December within certain areas, usually. So people will do a big year within their home city or their home state, or if you're really crazy, their home country. Like, I don't know if you remember that Hollywood movie that came out a couple years ago called The Big Year, which was hilarious. I mean, Owen Wilson, Jack Black, and Steve Martin playing bird watchers. I thought it was entertaining.
Yeah.
But that's what they were doing. This was based on a true story of birders in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
People have not really attempted a big year on a worldwide scale, at least to my mind, in an all-out way before. So this was kind of the ultimate year for a birder, is trying to see how many species of birds you could find on the entire planet in one calendar year. And there's about 10,000 species, more or less, on planet Earth, and I figured I could maybe see half of them, 5,000, if I really went for it. There was a previous world record held by a British couple named Ruth Miller and Alan Davies, who in 2008, they did quite a lot of traveling, and they saw 4,341 species of birds, so that was the official number to beat.
And what was the number again?
Their number was 4,341, and by the end of the year, this past year, 2015, I ended up with 6,042. So that was quite a big leap, and that's a new world record.
That is, and let me say again how lucky you are to have your current employer, because I'm sure they were all in on this.
Oh, yeah, well, it was possible because I got a book contract with Houghton Mifflin Harcourt, so they'll publish a book about this whole adventure as soon as I can get it written, so that'll probably come out later in 2017. And so it was like any classic expedition funded with sponsorships and writing contracts and all the rest. But meanwhile, I pretty much was on my own to put together the whole thing, so the logistics of doing a worldwide year of birding are kind of mind-boggling. In the end, I ended up going through 41 countries through the course of the year on all seven continents on one continuous trip. And I didn't go back home in between each destination. I just kept moving from one spot to the next. So it really was 365 straight days of birding.
Wow. There must have been times when you thought, oh my God, where am I, when you woke up in the morning?
Yeah, you know, I think the weirdest was actually getting back home to Oregon at the end of the year and waking up the next week in my own bed thinking, where am I?
Wow, so 6,042 bird species over the course of 1 year in 41 countries and seven continents. Did you have to rush from country to country, or could you just take a more or less steady pace?
I was moving pretty fast for the whole year. I didn't have any time off, really. I met local birders in each place, so I wasn't doing this by myself. I never went birding alone. So typically I'd fly in somewhere, land, be met at the airport by a local birder who I had contacted months in advance and set this trip up with. And then it was great. It was kind of like the couch surfing of birdwatching trips. I was staying at people's houses and sleeping on floors and anything, you know, because I was on a pretty strict budget for the whole trip, just to be able to see the birds, and went from one spot to the next.
So to record a big year, I mean, I can't imagine you have to photograph all of them. You just have to record that you saw them. I mean, do you have to have independent confirmation or something?
Well, I recorded all of my bird sightings in a internet database called ebird.org, mm-hmm. which is run by Cornell. And it's a scientific database, so anything that's weird gets flagged, and you get an email from a reviewer saying, did you really see this? Can I see some documentation for unusual sightings? I was also, as I said, in the presence of other local experts for all these birds, so technically I had witnesses for every sighting. But in general, birding is pretty much on the honor system. I mean, there's no reason to cheat if you start making up bird sightings. That would just be weird. There have been a couple of cases of birders who just seem to snap and start making things up. But it's also pretty easy to tell when someone's doing that, because birds are fairly predictable creatures. And if you start reporting things that shouldn't be there, and other people try to go there and see them and can't, then people get suspicious pretty quickly.
We have a call for you. Let's go to Ross in Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Noah Stryker, Birdman. Ross, you there?
Jeffrey, nice to get to talk to you guys real quick about birding. I'm somewhat of an amateur birder myself. My question was, during that year, did you ever have a time where you were, your life could have been in danger, or you're under, you know, at a place where people were going to hunt you down for being in the backyard or whatever?
Yeah, good question, Ross. I never had anything really disastrous go wrong, which was lucky. I mean, there's all kinds of things traveling the world for a year that could just be catastrophic. I didn't get any terrible diseases along the way. Actually, I was pretty lucky. I never got very sick at all. I was never robbed. I didn't have anything stolen from me. I didn't lose anything. I didn't break anything major. So I consider myself fairly lucky. That said, there's misadventures along the way. So, for instance, like in northern Tanzania, the Land Cruiser I was traveling in went off the road at about 70 miles per hour and went off into the bushes, fortunately, in a spot where it didn't flip over. So that was kind of rattling experience. I went through some places that are maybe a little bit sketchy to travel in. So like Guatemala City had some really terrible neighborhoods. In southern Turkey, I spent a week birding in some amazing places that were about 10 kilometers from the ISIS border. So it was kind of weird to go back at the end of the day and see essentially where you'd just been on international TV. Yeah. I went to Cameroon a couple of months before it was invaded by U.S. troops to put down some of the uprisings there. So, you know, I guess one lesson I took away from this whole trip is that it's so cliche, but the world is a much friendlier place than it seems like in the news. And really the only way to appreciate that is to go out and see it for yourself.
That's good to know. What in addition to that finding was your most exciting find among the birds you saw on your big day, your worldwide big year?
Oh, it's so hard to pick favorites out of 6,000 species of birds. But, you know, there's some birds that stand out. In Thailand, I was very lucky to see a bird called the spoon-billed sandpiper, which is a charismatic little shorebird that, as the name suggests, its beak is shaped like a spoon. And there's nothing else like it in the world. And unfortunately, that bird is very endangered, and it might even be extinct in 10 or 20 years, the way things are going. So I was lucky to see that while I was there. My most wanted bird was probably in South America. I was looking for a bird called the harpy eagle, which is like the ultimate avian raptor. It's a eagle that's 3 feet tall. It flies around very remote rainforests and eats monkeys and sloths.
Wow.
Is its main diet. Its legs are as big around as your wrist. Its talons are as big as your dinner plate. And It's just this massive bird. So I was lucky to see one at a nest in Brazil.
Well, okay, quickly before we go, have you ever had a chance to thank your fifth grade teacher for putting the bird feeder up?
Oh, yes. We are still in touch. She totally knows how she changed my life.
Good to know. Birdman Noah Stryker will be at Winter Wings in Klamath Falls this weekend with about, several hundred other people, if not thousands of people, looking at birds in the Klamath Basin. Noah, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot. This was fun.
All right, take care. And congratulations.